This is episode 17 of Trax Cultures. This is a legacy podcast from Unterwegs, the En Route podcast, being re-released here as we build a focused channel for our conversations about transitions across cultures. The original episode was released on January 19th, 2022. Welcome to Trax Cultures, the podcast dedicated to unraveling the intricacies of transitions across cultures. Whether you're a globetrotter embracing new cultures, an expat transitioning to life in a foreign land, or a supportive friend or family member, this podcast is your companion on the expedition through the exciting and sometimes challenging realms of culture shock and transition. I'm your host, Mike Piccinato, and I've been on my own cross-cultural journey, navigating the intricacies of culture shock, language barriers, and the joys and frustrations that come with embracing a new way of life. Much of what we do in this series will be framed by the book Transitions Across Cultures by Dr. Stephen W. Jones. Today, I am joined by three guests. We have author Stephen Jones with us, Dr. Stephen Jones with us.
Hello.
And then my daughter, Johanna Piccinato.
Hi.
And my son, Caleb.
Hello.
And this episode is focused on a question from one of our listeners who really was intrigued by the interaction that our kids have had with coming overseas and wanting to, in some way, dodge some of the legal problems that come with recording children. I've asked my adult children to join us and kind of reflect back. And so we'll start by asking Johanna and Caleb a question, and that is, how old were you when you came? And what do you remember from that initial transition when we moved here in 2012?
I was 12 when we moved here. And honestly, I really do not remember much from our first move. I think there was a lot happening, a lot with language learning, transitioning, adapting, new school, new people. A lot of that just kind of all jumbled together. I think most of my memories are more, or my transitional memories are more transitioning back from Germany to the U.S. rather than the other way around.
I was 9 when we got here, and I'd have to probably say my experience was similar to Joe's. Maybe more memories will come up when certain questions come up, but it was almost 10 years ago, so it's not the easiest to remember everything for me.
And Stephen, you've had the opportunity to debrief families after they've had cross-cultural experiences and to sit down and talk with people when they've gone with their kids as well. What are some of the things that you've noticed with families as they come back?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've interacted more with college students who had lived internationally and then came to the U.S. Things that are kind of, I don't know, part of the question of what does it mean to grow up in a culture other than your passport culture. And there are whole books dedicated to exploring what that means and ways that plays out. But I think one of the things that is really interesting and shared by a lot of third culture kids is the difficulty in answering the question, where are you from? And then that connects to so many other areas of life.
Johanna, I noticed you earlier even struggling with that question as people were here at Sprig and coming in and kind of asking where you are from.
Yeah, absolutely. I think especially now that I've been back living in the U.S. for another year and a half, so it is kind of like that's where I'm based. But so much of my identity is based in both living in the U.S. and living in Germany and growing up in both places. And so if I only say one of those options, it feels like I'm not giving the most true example of myself and really introducing myself in an honest way.
What about for you, Caleb? How do you answer that question? Where are you from?
For me, it's always at least a two-part question. I was born in the States, but I've lived in Germany for half my life. And I feel like that's the only honest answer I can give. I think the question that's harder for me personally is, what one do you like more? Or where would you rather be? Because that's It's a very different question, but in a similar line of thought. I mean, I think I'm able to break down the idea of where I'm from into a more geographical, just kind of U.S. and Germany, but identity-wise, it's a lot different.
One of the things that's really interesting is sometimes for TCKs, you'll say, where are you from? And they'll respond with, well, when?
Yeah.
Then even how TCKs sometimes will remember their life history based on where certain events happened, and then they can figure out when they happened.
Absolutely. Yeah, I base a lot of my memories of like childhood and stuff based on before 2012 and after 2012, and then like 2017, 2018 when we were back in the US. And then, yeah, it's all based off of geographical location rather than on a timeline. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
for sure.
100%.
Yeah. I think, well, answering the question, where am I from? It also depends on where I currently am. So when I'm in the States, it almost feels like a more honest answer is that I'm from Germany or that I've spent a lot of time in Germany. But when I'm in Germany, a more realistic answer is that I'm from the US because I'm not from either place directly, but because of the way I've grown up in both spaces, I guess to explain the cultural differences that I have, it's easiest just to answer that it was the one where I'm not currently.
Yeah, that makes sense. I find myself answering the question in Berlin in a way to distance myself from the tourists. If somebody asks me mm-hmm. where I'm from, then I'm like, oh, I live here in Berlin, but I'm from the U.S.
Yeah.
Like starting my university experience here in Berlin, it's the same question because there are so many people that come in internationally to a schooling
system. Or from all over Germany.
And from all over Germany. Yeah. So a common question is, are you from Berlin? And then my answer would be, I'm from the States, but I've grown up, I went to school here. My process to get into this university was the same as all of my other German classmates.
I, as you guys know, grew up in the Air Force. And so for me, mm-hmm. maybe like you, Stephen, as well, it wasn't two locations. There's a bunch of mm-hmm. locations for me that are linked there. So I really do link key memories to where I was mm-hmm. when that memory took place.
I think Caleb touched on a really common thing that I feel a lot, which is where when we're in Germany, you feel more American. And when you're in mm-hmm. America, I feel more German. I think that's also a really big part of being a TCK in general is like knowing a lot of my culture, my personality, my thought process, my way of thinking, my way of being comes from each of the cultures I've been in. And I know for me personally, a lot of that has been influenced by the schools. Like I've gone to German schools and everything and grown up with a German way of debating and going through conversations in life. And so that's definitely very obvious to me when I'm in the US. But I've still, when I'm in Germany, I still end up being more American than I think I am. So it's weird having that.
Yeah, I think even when you go down to kind of the high school conversation level, in Germany, I'm the American. And in the US, the 1 year we were there, which was my freshman year of high school for me, I was the German kid, even though it was the same town that I'd grown up in and knew a lot of my classmates.
I think what you're describing is this really common experience of kind mm-hmm. of like you have this bifurcated identity, right? Split in two. Mm-hmm. But then the one that you're identifying most with often is not the one that you have access to in that space. And so then it is this thing that can cause a lot of, I don't know, it sometimes creates a lot of creative potential because there is this sense of being able to bring something into the space that nobody else can bring in or that mm-hmm. not many other people have access to. But then on the other hand, it can also lead to this feeling of really profound discomfort because mm-hmm. the version of you that people are connecting to, they don't understand. Mm-hmm. And the part of you that actually is more like them, sometimes the people that are close to you there can't actually access that because they're experiencing you as foreign.
I've definitely experienced both sides of the, I don't know, a creative bonus or multicultural kind of input that I have and outlook that I have on a lot of things. And also the discomfort, I think, over the last year, I'd say, I've gotten a lot better at dealing with the different cultures where I'm able to use it more as something that I can build off of and as a, I don't know, as part of my identity as opposed to something that's more confusing. So instead of not fitting in either place, I can find ways to fit in both places, I think at least. I feel like I'm able to add another outlook on things as opposed to not being able to add anything, which I definitely went through in parts of high school.
One question that maybe follows up on that a little bit and can get to some of the feelings that we as TCKs often feel is, how do you react to the question or the statement, what does it feel like to be home?
Yeah, I mean, that's a question I hear all the time. You know, you hear it from family, you hear it from like going back to churches and from friends and everything. I mean, the only people I really don't hear it from are like my other third culture friends, like immigrant friends or other people. It's hard because they're both home, you know, being here, being there are definitely both home to me. Usually my go-to answer would be like, oh, it's really good to see people again, or oh, I'm really happy to have German bread or something along those lines, where I can say, you know, what it is that makes me happy to be here. It's these different aspects of the culture also at the same time kind of avoiding saying, well, right now this one isn't really my current home. Yeah.
I think it's most uncomfortable when family asks that question, because I don't want to offend them with my answer if I go and say, oh yeah, I don't really see it, the US as my home. And then I feel like there are certain connotations where I don't feel at home with family and I don't feel like I'm at home where I grew up. But at the same time, culture wise and as personal growth wise, so much of that has happened in Germany. The years between being 9, 10 and 18 going on 19 are very, very formative years. So a lot of my experiences and memories come from my time here. But at the same time, I would never say Germany is my real home. It's this kind of in-between place where I feel like the US is my home, but that's not where I've lived. I mean, or where I've experienced life is a better way to say that.
I also find it helpful to say that I right now we call Berlin home.
Mm-hmm.
Because Berlin is so different. It's not really Germany, although it's in Germany. It's such an international city that I feel like I can get away a little bit more with that identification.
Yeah. For like sure. I may not be a German, but I am a Berliner. And
yeah.
Yeah.
I think that was one of the things I realized recently. We moved overseas when I was 6 and then back to the US right after I had turned 9, I think. And then, yeah, we were a Navy family. So we moved all over within the US as well. And so home has always been a difficult thing for me to identify. And actually, because Berlin has this feeling of, I mean, what is it? Something like 40% of people here are from somewhere else. I actually feel very comfortable with this as home, in the sense that it's kind of expected that you might be from somewhere else. So that, for me, gives me a space I haven't had most of the time since we moved overseas. And so in some ways, Berlin feels like home in a way that no place really has, which is fascinating. You know, I'm almost 40 and finding a place that feels like home for the first time.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting, because when talking with some of my very, very German friends, they are cultural staples that I've never heard of that are German, and certain like foods and stuff that are very, very German. And I'm the only person in my friend group that's never heard of them, even though I've spent over half my life here. And when being in Berlin, it is, I think it's a lot different than a lot of Germany. But at the same time, I don't really want to be one of those people that's like, oh yeah, I'm in Berlin, I'm one of the cross-cultural people. And when we're walking around with our family and all speaking English, I'm almost uncomfortable sometimes, because it's like, I know there's going to be somebody looking over on the train thinking, oh, they're not from here. It's like, I am from here. I could speak in German. It just feels kind of off, right? Like, I'm not from here, but I don't want to seem like I'm not from here, because I am from here. I said it confusingly, and that's about how it works in my head.
I think, though, that's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, and that's, it's interesting, having seen students, TCK students, coming to the US and trying to figure out how they identify. And there's kind of this whole range of, some people are like very proudly wear the flag of, you know, I am from somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And then other people who are like, please don't include me on any of the group lists for TCKs, don't acknowledge that I'm from somewhere else. Like, I just want to act like I'm from here. And the question of, how do I blend in, or do I want to blend in? And that question happens both in, you know, on both sides of a TCK identity, of how you negotiate that identity.
Being like, okay, I'm probably a more of an expert to speak on Germany and German culture, or, you know, experiences that are to be had here, than some of the people I'd be speaking with, for example, in the US, but also I'm not the person to be speaking for Germany. I'm not German. It's not my culture, but you know, it also is. Yeah.
I think entering my first year of gymnasium, so that'd be seventh grade, I remember one of the first things I was thinking is, all right, when I go into this school, I don't want to be the American. Because that was a big part of my, at least I felt like it was a big part of people's perception of me in the school I was at before that, because I went into this school speaking no German. And by the end, I had a decent grasp of it. I went to a full German school after that. But after a bit of time, kind of going with the idea, I don't want to be the American who's like, coming in from a different language, different culture, it's really hard to hide from that because it is such a big part of my personality. I mean, the whole being American and growing up in multiple places, it almost felt like a social crutch just to be able to say, oh yeah, I'm not from here. And then you get conversations from that. And I think over time, I've been able to come to grips with it or be able to use it more as leverage to have more in-depth conversations. But I know for a long amount of time, it was really something I wanted to hide from just to fit in better. I don't want to stick out and I don't want to be special. I just want to be another seventh grader.
I think that's really normal to not mm-hmm. want to stand out. I remember the horrible feelings changing schools. That first day in the cafeteria was always the worst because you're yeah. standing there with your lunch tray and you just feel like everyone's staring at you because you don't know where to sit.
Mm-hmm. Everyone was staring at me when we moved to Kansas because we had brought sushi in our lunch because that's what we normally had for lunch. And yeah, I definitely stood out. With
that. Yeah. I'm sure you had the best lunch though.
I'm sure I did. Yeah, yeah. It was great.
I'd like to lean into that a little bit, Caleb, because what you're talking about is true for us as parents as well. And I think probably made your entry initially, even if you don't have memories of it, very challenging because when we moved here, none of us spoke German. I had more vocabulary mm-hmm. than anybody else. So that meant I ended up stumbling through the most conversations at the beginning. But we discovered so many things that we didn't know that had nothing to do with vocabulary that really did make you guys stand out at times. We'd show up for school and the school materials that every German family knew to send their kids with that weren't even on the lists
yeah.
were times where we would get notes from teachers saying, well, why doesn't your kid have this? And we were like, we didn't even know that that was something we were supposed to have.
I mean, alone the fact that you walked us to school was something that made us stand out because not many, I mean, even starting in like fifth and sixth grade, a lot of people go to school by themselves. They'll take the trains to school though.
I would see seven-year-olds taking the
train. I've seen people younger that, yeah, like seven, six, seven, eight, maybe like that first grade, I've seen people just on the subway by themselves. And I also felt like that made us stand out a lot.
I'm sure it did. Although there were plenty of other parents dropping mm-hmm. their kids off from cars, you're right, there weren't as many parents walking with their kids. I would be curious in that mix how many of the other kids that were coming on their own had zero German, especially that first year.
Yeah, I think a lot of my, I'll say cross-cultural experiences started around fifth grade. So fourth grade, that would be 2012 to 2013. We were at an international school. And there I would say I fit right in with everybody else because there were so many people that came from the States whose parents were over in Germany for business or any other amount of reasons.
And even I think, your main classroom teacher didn't speak German.
Yeah, I think one of my best friends I made there also came from the U.S. and lived in Germany. So I didn't really experience any of that kind of being an outsider, being this person from a different country until I really started at a full German school with that full German experience.
For me, it was oddly a little bit different going into that first school, into the international English school that we went to here. Something you see in a lot of German schools is that all of the class sizes are very small and all of the people form really tight-knit groups already, like, and a lot of them stay together in that class from kindergarten all the way up through graduating. And so even though it was a very international school where there were always some new kids, I mean, there were always going to be international kids and everybody spoke English, there was still a large amount of that class camaraderie where, yeah, the people I became friends with quickest were people who hadn't been there since kindergarten and weren't a part of that. But that was still mm-hmm. something that was hard to break into. But of course, easier when everybody else spoke English too.
Yeah, I experienced the exact same thing in fifth grade. Yeah, that would have been fifth grade going into it, where luckily I made one friend who I'm still friends with today, but just because he came up and sat next to me when I was sitting at the school bed, like just sitting on a bench eating lunch alone, because everybody else already had their full friend groups. It was the same group they'd been in since first grade. So there's no reset or anything where I'm just able to slot in there. It was very dependent on anybody coming in, because I couldn't speak German either, right? So I'm both new to the school and new to the language, and it's completely, I was like throwing the baby bird out of the nest and hoping they can fly.
Which is what you need to do. Otherwise, the bird will never fly. But
fifth grade is maybe a little young to be doing that, but it's kind of the option that we had at that time if we wanted you guys to become fluent in German. And man, was that a challenging decision for us to make, knowing that it was going to be hard for you guys. And I remember several situations for you, Caleb, where it seemed like your best attempts to fit in were still like, do you remember your early field trips where it seemed like every field trip you
something went wrong? Yeah.
And
I think I got stuck in the mud twice. And when stuck in the mud, it's not just like my foot got stuck, but it was like a big rain boots up to my knee.
Oh, where so somebody like literally stuck in the mud.
Literally stuck in the mud. Yeah, where we go and walk next to a lake or something. And I'm in the far back, just like knee deep in mud. And I can't move.
Like, which is not a cultural thing.
Like, it's not a cultural thing. It's not a common thing. Nobody else could have that happen to them. But me being the outsider,
it's made it even
got
worse.
Yeah. Even more attention. Yeah.
I remember one of those occasions, I probably to your even more embarrassment, was the one parent who actually didn't have a job. I was learning language. Mm. And so my schedule was flexible, and the teacher had sent out an emergency call for a chaperone for the trip. And I was able to come along. And I'm sitting there talking with your teacher, and up runs one of your classmates and says, Caleb's stuck, and so we go and we find you, and by this time you're mostly out. And I remember your German at the time was like, why is this me again? To your teacher, and who then graciously found, I think, a gardener to hose you off.
It was to
wash the mud off. But I just I remember that because at the same time you were struggling in class, learning in German, and then answering the questions in German on the test, but not being able to because you couldn't speak German. And so when you came home with a rather unsatisfactory grade on the test, and I translate the questions for you, you would say, I know the answer to that.
Mm.
I just can't do it in German. And then we set up a meeting with your teacher who said, oh, just come to me and ask me during the class. But even then, I think the challenge was for you, I don't want to be that kid.
Definitely. It's uncomfortable to stand out. And that's a very universal experience, especially when it also feels like I'm kind of cheating in class, right? I have the teacher coming over to me specifically to help me with the questions on the test. It just feels wrong almost. I'm getting so much special treatment compared to everybody else. I don't think I wanted the help as much as I needed it. And that problem issue stayed with me even today sometimes when I got into more complicated questions in school. I had a history teacher who's probably one of my favorite teachers, but she spent a few years in the States too, and eventually said, you know, if you write certain sentences on your essays just in English, I'll mark them as like grammatically and spelling completely wrong, because I can't do much more, but I can at least understand what you're trying to say, as opposed to some German words where you're not quite saying what you really want to say. And that made a big difference, and I think my grades did go up and I felt a lot more comfortable around that teacher. So using those opportunities that they gave me was really nice, but it took a long time to feel comfortable using those opportunities and that extra help that I did need.
I think that's such a TCK thing, this desire to fit in, mm-hmm. that even costs us in other areas, because really the teachers were measuring, has Caleb learned the material? But what Caleb was measuring was, am I fitting in? And that's so normal. I think that's a struggle in the TCK world for sure.
Yeah, it's interesting how, a lot of what we're talking about, I think, could be brought into that category of identity negotiation. And when you are trying to say, this is who I am, and it's not being reciprocated, or people aren't speaking the identity that you want to have back to you, it's super uncomfortable. It's really threatening, actually. Mm-hmm. And so, we have all sorts of different ways that we try to respond to that. And there are often trade-offs being made where, if I have to choose between being the kid who understands the material and being the kid who fits in, maybe I'll be the kid who fits in, or at least tries to, Some of those things really can have long-term consequences, right? And especially if we never realize, oh, that's why I was doing this thing, whatever it was. It's interesting, even ways that TCKs have kind of stored in their body the memories of not being okay. And so this is an area where there's ongoing research trying to figure out, like, how have we internalized the sense of not being okay? Because, a lot of what we're talking about at one level is normal for kids everywhere, right? But then there's a lot of stuff that we're talking about that really isn't a normal kid experience. Not that kids who never move across cultures don't experience some of these things, but having so many things all at once that you're having to figure out, and then having the long-term questions of that, the questions of where did you grow up, or where are you from, or who are you, or even trying to think about questions like, you both are in that college age, right? So like, what do you want to be when you grow up? Those kinds of questions, like even your frameworks of how you answer that don't come fully from one culture or another. And so even something that seems like, well, that's a future looking thing, right? You can kind of just be neutral, but you can't, because you have these two different realities that are informing that. And maybe it's worth mentioning, that's where that third, the idea of the third culture comes from, right? That you're not really fully one or the other, but you're in this third space that exists in between.
Probably the best way that was demonstrated for us was at this training institute that we went to before we went. Do you guys remember the blue handprint and the yellow handprint, and you overlap them? And in the middle, there's this green section, and that's kind of the way they describe this third culture.
And I think adding on to the two handprints, you also had the differences in religion. I mean, German Christianity is different than both the general American evangelical Christianity, the kind of Christianity that happens in the house church that our parents are doing. I mean, their German church system is so much different. And if you get into slightly deeper talks on religion, you get even more differences and ways that I stand out, and that growing up as a pastor's kid is a lot different than growing up as a Christian, or growing up as a Christian in Germany. And then it's just, and instead of it just being U.S. Germany handprints, it's more like a bunch of people gave and high-fived the one piece of paper. And it's just kind of like this muddy brown in the middle from so many different things.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I'm going to bring this episode to a close. This has really been a lot about identity stuff. Who are you? Where are you from? And what impact does that have on how you identify even now? And I think we'll come back next week. And what I want to talk about with the next episode is a little bit more of some of your guys' experiences. Even if you don't remember those, maybe we'll walk through some of those and see for some of our listeners if they can understand, what is it like for a kid that moves into a different culture, both in good ways and bad ways. So thanks again for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
And we'll come back next week.
Good.
Thank you for listening to Trax Cultures and joining us as we talk about transitions across cultures. Our work at Envision Berlin is made possible by supporters who believe in our vision. Your monthly support ensures that we can continue our initiatives as we, Envision Berlin, look for the meeting place between faith, art, and culture, and how to have conversations both about and in that meeting place. By becoming a patron, you help us sustain our efforts and gain exclusive insights into the heart of our work. You'll receive updates, behind-the-scenes content,
and a closer connection to the change you're helping to create. Visit patreon.com/envisionberlin to explore the different membership tiers and the special perks that come with each level. Every contribution brings us one step closer to our goals.
This podcast was produced by Envision Berlin in our studios located in Berlin, Germany. If you'd like to send us a note, feel free to send your email to podcast@envisionberlin.com. Thanks for listening.